Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by Life West, the Chiropractic College. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another edition of our Life West Leadership Line. Today, I've got a very special guest. They're all special, but this one is especially special to my heart. I have Dr. Aaron Morris coming to us all the way from Barcelona, Spain. Welcome, Aaron. Good to see you, my man.
Thank you so much, Ron. Thanks for having me on the call.
Absolutely. And I just want to let people know why it is so special to me and a little bit about Dr. Aaron. Aaron graduated from Life West in 2003, and immediately he left the country. He went to Nicaragua. He was there for 6 months thinking he might practice there, ended up going over to Spain and just really kind of following his innate voice. And that's why it's so special, because Aaron is that kind of person that I think you're going to hear today. I know you'll hear today and be able to feel that. When in Spain, Aaron was involved politically. He was treasurer for 6 years of the Spanish Chiropractic Association. He was in the founding group that worked very diligently to start the Barcelona College of Chiropractic. He's had amazing things happen over his 20 years in practice, his 20 years this year, and just an amazing gentleman that we'll be able to draw a lot from today. So that's Aaron, but you'll hear it and you'll feel it as we go through our conversation. So Aaron, man, it's great to have you. I know it's late probably right now in Barcelona, but thank you for joining us. It's just great to see you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Yeah, it's about 7:30, finished practice and came on over here. And I've been very, very excited to be on this call with you as well. So thanks for having me. I love chiropractic. Why don't we start with that? It is everything great that I have in my life. Just about everything great that I have in my life is thanks to chiropractic. So, yep, super excited to be here.
Yeah. And listen, you know what? I think this, and I thought it was later, man. I'm looking at my clock, 10:30. I'm thinking India. I'm thinking it's like 11 o'clock at night right now, 12 and a half, or actually 12 o'clock at night, 13 and a half hours. You're about 9 hours. But you know, something I want to go through, and I think it's kind of interesting as I was introducing you. You know, you left the States like right away, you know, went to Nicaragua, then you ended up in Spain. And did you ever think of practicing in the States? Was it like were you on a short time journey that turned into a 20-year expedition? And around that, what I want to get into is just, what's it like? You know, there's got to be the good, the bad, hopefully not the ugly, but, you know, that old Clint Eastwood. Mm-hmm. But there's got to be some stuff around that. But what got you in the direction you're going, where you are right now?
Okay, so I started at Life West 2003, like you said, and I made some really close friends that were from here. Well, they were at Life West from Spain. They're studying there. And we became really close friends. I met an Italian girl. We became really close friends. And I was just like super curious, like, okay, I want to go live outside the States. And I didn't think too much about it. Other than, like, as we went through school, went by super, super fast. And then I had this opportunity to go to Nicaragua, and it was what it was. It was a great experience. And then I had an opportunity to go to Spain, and it has been incredible. It's just been this like amazing roller coaster ride that has been good, bad, and ugly. But it's been cool. It has been quite an experience. I actually have not practiced in the States. I've only practiced in Nicaragua and in Spain. So yeah, I've always wondered what it was like to practice in the States.
But when you took off, I got that. And like, I'm thinking like from the outside in now that you're like thinking, wow, I wonder what it's like in the States, where most people in the States are thinking, you know, I know this to be true because people come to me all the time and ask me, hey, what's it like in Spain? What's it like in Portugal? What's it like in Germany? What's it like all over? And yet, even for myself, you know, there's times when I look in the, you know, you see these things pop up on the internet, great places to retire, you know, that kind of stuff. But I've got that traveling blood inside of me, I believe. You know, did you think that it was going to be a short-term deal and that you were going to come back and practice here? And it just ended up?
I, It was really open. Like I bought a one-way ticket and I just said, okay, I got a job in Spain and I was covering this lady's practice, another LifeQuest grad, actually, Gladys Ramirez. And she was pregnant and she just had her baby actually. And she needed someone to cover her while she was on her maternity leave. And so I came over and it was going to be a 5-month deal. And I came and I was just like super, super excited when I got here. And her practice doubled when I got in there. And so she's like, do you want to stay longer? Like, no, because somebody else poached me and said, hey, when you finish with her, if you'd like to come work with me, I have this spot available. And so I started working with another guy and it ended up being like, I had a real issue, Ron, with commitment. I was like, I can commit to 5 months, 6 months, but I don't know what I want to do after that. And then, so I committed to 2 years working for this other guy. That ended up going really, really good. And then from there, I decided to buy his practice. And then I moved his practice into that, to this big building that I bought as well, which you actually came and spoke at one of the events. I think you came twice and spoke there twice, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. We had that big patient. You did like a patient appreciation. And man, it was freaking packed. It was an old bank building, right? And
yes.
Remember the vault. And it was just completely packed. People were out on the street. I mean, Aaron, there must have been probably about, I don't know, 100, 150 food. It was like one of these most incredible evenings. And you had me speak. And I remember standing up on a bench and remember that and talking. And
I do.
You
were up there speaking and then someone was translating for you. And it was like, it was so cool. You could hear a pin drop, but people loved it and they loved you. And I remember from that event, I think we had something like 85 new patients come from that event. It was crazy. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. So share with me this, the good, the bad, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, and I want to bring this out because I know most people, 90% of people think at some point, boy, my kids are going to be gone or whatever it might be, or I'm at an age right now as I'm just out of school and I want to go explore this while I can. You know, what are some of the, you know, what's the good, the bad, the ugly that you talked about?
Okay. So as a chiropractor, there are only, when I moved to Spain, there was something like less than 200 chiropractors in the whole country, like 40 million people. So people don't know what it is at all. So you go and you talk to people and you're like, you're a chiropractor. They have no idea. They think it's massage or they think it's physical therapy. And then when you get in practice, they also have no idea what to expect. I mean, in the States, now I have so many friends that practice in the States and everybody kind of has an idea what a chiropractor is in the States. But here, people don't know. They don't know that they should be on a program of care. They don't know that it's, they just really have no idea at all. And they get their first adjustment and they're just blown away. They've never had that before. So, I would say that's really, really good because there's so many people who have no idea what chiropractic is and they really like it. Like I'd say in general, they're very, very accepting of it. But also on the other hand, it's really odd in that there's no legislation here. So there's no protection for chiropractors or for the general public. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. And so my girlfriend could just go, she's an architect and she could go open up a practice and say that she's a chiropractor. And there's really, people would know no difference. And, that is not great.
So it has like the Wild West kind of a thing. Like right now, Aaron, in India, what's happening is that, you know, physiotherapists there are seeing their chiropractic is, you know, getting a reputation and they're just, they'll do a weekend thing and hang a sign up saying they do physiotherapy, they do chiropractic, they do
this. Yes.
And it's not chiropractic, right?
No, it's the same. It's the same thing. And also the physios are they're very smart. They saw this coming and they passed. It's sort of a law that was said that chiropractic is a part of physical therapy so that we're actually intruding on their profession. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like practicing medicine without a license. And so it's not a big deal. I mean, there's only been one kind of issue, one practice that had some real issues with it. But in general, things move very, very slow in Spain. That's another plus, I would say. Things move very, very slowly. And so it's like, yeah, maybe, but I don't really worry about it. I just keep going straight ahead and no problem at all.
Right. And people, I mean, obviously there's more people coming, you know, every year and starting practices and even the school in Spain, right? The Barcelona Barcelona College, right? So people are coming, right? So it's not like they're practicing in fear. They're looking through the curtain to make sure no one's out. So it's nothing. No. Like that. It feels like it's anywhere. You could be any, you could be in the States actually, right? You know, and not have to worry. So it's not a fearful deal. It's just the legalities around it, right?
Yeah. And you, I don't know. I just choose to not really live in fear. I know some of my colleagues probably do and worry about it and stuff like that, but most things we worry about never come to pass anyway. And I've realized that as time goes by, just to stay focused on what you want and just keep taking care of people. And it's just been such a positive experience. It's been, oh my God, it's been so, so good being in practice. I can't imagine not being in practice. It's just so good, you know?
And I know this, and I think we need to give a shout out because, you know, I think the first, one of the first practitioners, U.S. practitioners, United States practitioners in Barcelona was Tobias.
Yes, yes.
Tobias left us. He left his body. I don't know. Gosh, it seems like yesterday to me, but
mm-hmm.
I know
a couple years ago.
Yeah, you know, I was gonna, you know, 3 to 5 years ago, maybe, I'm not sure. But I remember him telling me, you know, he left Life West. He came, you know, he was walking down the Malecón, you know, in Barcelona. So Malecón, is that what it's called?
The Ramblas?
The Ramblas. Yeah, he's like, I'm in Puerto Vallarta now. He's walking down the the Ramblas, and he got pickpocketed and all of his money was gone. Like his first day, right? You know, fresh off the boat, they spotted him, you know, and they got him, and but he ended up, you know, kind of paving a way for people to come, right? And growing a very beautiful practice there. So so shout out, you know, to Tobias for all that he's done. And then I know Mark Hudson, you know, I've had him on the show. He's done amazing things in Spain and, you know, with power Europe, all over Europe, you know. Got a lot of powerhouses there, you know, but did you ever feel like you're on an island? Did you get that feeling?
No. I never felt that was like I was on an island. And I think a big part of it was because we have such a strong chiropractic community in Barcelona. It's the top cities for chiropractic are Barcelona and Madrid. But it's like Barcelona has like 3 or 4 times as many chiropractors, a lot of very principled chiropractors. So like-minded, and there's just a great community. And it's really grown a lot. You know, when I got here 20 years ago, 18 years ago, there weren't that many of us, but it's grown and grown and grown. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty remarkable. I never felt like I was on an island. And I think it also had to do with Cairo Europe, you know, and Mark starting Cairo Europe and having these events. It was kind of like the DE of chiropractic, you know, the DE of Spain, and just getting together like-minded chiropractors, and you spoke there. I can't remember if that's where I met you, actually. May have been in one of those Cairo Europes, you know, and then having you helped me. So just getting into my early years in practice in Spain, you helped me a lot, like grow my practice, understand communication stuff. You helped me grow my practice like crazy. It was really amazing, actually.
That's nice to say. And I could just tell you, all I did was, put the force in where it needed to go in, and, you know, you did the rest, you know, the universe does that. But, you know, Aaron, a question I have for you, and thank you for saying that. I'll take that, you know. The question I have for you is this, you know, and I love to just talk about this if you're good on talking about it. You know, you were strong in practice. I mean, had a really big practice, one of the biggest probably in Barcelona. And then a health crisis happened, right? Sometime in 2012. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd love for you to share whatever you choose to share about that, but more than anything, like the lessons that came out, you know, and how, what I watched from afar was, you know, you being able to take what was given to you and turn this into something very, very positive, you know, growth orientation for your life. So however comfortable you are talking about it, let's talk about it.
I'm completely comfortable. So 2012 came around. I started getting these really weird symptoms, and I was full in practice. I was seeing over 500 a week in practice, and it was really intense. And anyway, I won't get into all the details other than like when I finally, because I resisted going to the medical doctor for a long, long time, probably like a couple of years. I was having some strange symptoms. Finally, I was like, I can't ignore this anymore. I was trying to do everything natural. I was getting adjusted every day. I was just And finally, I just had to surrender and go, okay, what's going on here? Anyway, found testicular cancer. But then since I'd waited so long, it had metastasized and it moved kind of throughout my body. And I was in really, really bad shape. And I had to sell my practice, actually. I was looking to sell my practice, and I'd got an agreement in place right before I found out that I had all this cancer everywhere. And anyway, so the guy that was going to take over my practice, I told him, let's do this nice 4-month transition. And then it was like, I called him from the hospital and said, hey man, there's no 4-month transition. Like, you got to get on a train. Like, you got to go over here now. And then next day he was in my practice and I was out, and there was no goodbye to my patients or anything like that. And it was crazy, man. Like, I did not see that coming. And, so I had to leave practice. I was out for about a year. I tried everything natural that I could, but I ended up just going to surgery, and I had chemotherapy. And it was crazy, Ron, because you go through something like that, and the last thing you want to feel is shame. But I was ashamed. I was ashamed. Like, I'm a principal chiropractor. How the hell could I be going through this? And I didn't want people to know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's common.
You know,
it's so common, you know, and it's, when you look back on it right now, it's like, hey, that was just like, you know, it was what's thrown at me, you know. And I think
totally.
You see that, you know, medicine does a great job, you know, in when there's crisis, right?
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and maybe not a good job. I don't know. But, you know, because we hear horror stories, but this is where they're needed. You know, I mean, this is when
you
see them, you know, not for health, but for an issue that's going on. So what took place?
What took place was I had to surrender. It was as weird as it sounds. It was like a deep process of surrendering, dark night of the soul. And it was, whatever you're doing, man, there's some stuff, there's something that's not working in your life, and it's time to change it. You got to let it go. And I just surrendered and I asked God for help. And it's not like I'm a super religious person, but I became a very, very spiritual person. And it was that you need to let go. You need to release it. You need to stop holding on. And what I realized I'd done is I had made my whole identity about being a principal chiropractor. Okay. It was like, it was that before I was a human being or a spiritual being. And it was like just everything. So it was like, if practice was great, I was great. If practice wasn't going great, I wasn't going great. I was taking things so personally. And I just had kind of started falling out of love with chiropractic, which was like really, really sad for me. And so it was going through this process of healing and letting go that, that I realized, like, okay, I don't need to do it that way. I love chiropractic. Chiropractic hasn't failed me in any way. It's not that, but it's just, this is what I've had to experience so I could heal and understand. And so, that's kind of what happened. I got out of practice. I took about a year off. And when I came back into practice, I came back very, very differently.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what I'm hearing is you came back more balanced. You came back.
Yes.
You know, you running the practice, not having the practice run you, so to speak. That's what I was picking up from what you were saying.
Exactly.
How'd that transition go?
It was really good because I came back, I looked at my practice and I looked at my kind of former practice life, and I just analyzed everything. What did I love about my practice and what did I not love? And I really focused on those things that I loved and said, I want to keep those things for sure for my next practice. And what did I not love? Get rid of them. Just change it. Just do what you love. And so I came back, and you know that feeling where you sometimes, if you pressure yourself, like there's this pressure on the inside of you, and I know you've worked on yourself a lot, Ron. You probably don't get that anymore, but
every day I get that, man. Yeah. I'm not that evolved, I'll tell you that, but I know what you're talking about. You feel like there's almost like a little vice. Sometimes it's a vice grip and sometimes it's a small one, but you know that it's not right. And whether you should look at it or not look at it, depending, you know, if you're in the middle of the street, do you stop and look at it, or do you just keep going and, you know, not knowing? Mm.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And it was that feeling I was having. I'd realized when I looked back that I'd been having for years in my practice when I was doing that very busy practice. And I had that kind of vice grip on the inside, and it just never went away. And instead of looking at it and figuring out, okay, what's going on in here, and letting it go and figuring out a way to let it go, I just kept driving and pushing through it. And it was like driving a boulder up the mountain. And you just, our bodies weren't made to be that way. You know, we can't live in emergency mode all the time. And I was, and, you know, I realized like, I don't have to practice chiropractic that way. I can practice it from a state of ease and joy. And that's my priority right now, really.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting you said those words, you know, a state of ease and joy, because when we correct the subluxation, when the nervous system is balanced, the body, you know, has a balance between sympathetic and parasympathetic, or the best balance it can have, depending if a person is predominantly sympathetic or parasympathetic. So there's that state of ease, right? Dis-ease, right? And it's funny that, you know, not funny, but it's ironic that you said those words, because here we are trying to do this, you know, allow people to have that experience through the work that we do, right? And yet we're not in that place ourselves. And I think that's a huge lesson, because you're not the only person, Aaron Moore. So just that how the universe chose to teach you your lesson was, you know, could be a, you know, I don't want to say worse than anyone else's or more drastic, because I know people go through divorces. I know people who lose everything and And it's this, but it's listening. And that's what I'm
listening.
That's what inspires me the most with you is that you listened, you know, and you chose to make a difference and chose to make a change. And I think for our viewers to hear that, we don't have to wait till we get, you know, whatever you want to call it, the symptom is, we don't have to wait for that.
Yeah, it's a crisis that ended up healing me. But I didn't have to let it go that far. And the reason I did is because I was so damn stubborn, because I wasn't listening, like you said, and I wasn't listening. And if we don't listen, I think the universe is very, very wise. And it whispers in our ear in the beginning. If we don't listen, it starts to tap us on the shoulder. And then it's just like, I kept going and going and going, and it started throwing bricks at me. So it was time to listen. I had to listen at that point.
So how did you heal? And I remember being on a Zoom with you, you know, and you were in your healing phase, and you know, I remember you were eating super clean. Man, you lost a ton of weight, and not that you needed to lose weight. You're always muscular, but you're pretty lean. And you know, but I just remember you just, you know, you were eating super clean. Like, well, share what you did on your side. Besides, I know you got checked regularly, you know.
Yeah.
But what, you know, for subluxation, but what'd you do to heal?
You know what? It was, it wasn't even really about the physical habits, because I was always eating really clean. I was exercising a lot. I was sort of meditating. I didn't really know how to that well back then. And I was trying to get good rest and all that. It was mainly, Ron, I think it was this, I don't know how else to say it, but other than just like, it was like a surrendering of all of the ego. It was like a shattering of the ego. And I don't think it really had a lot to do with the physical habits, because I was already taking care of those. It was finally letting go and just going, okay, stop doing this thing that's creating all this pressure and tension inside of you, this disease inside of you. It's now become disease. And I just had to stop. And I eventually learned how to meditate. I came across Joe Dispenza's work. I love his work. And I make time every single day, either half an hour or an hour every single day, to meditate and just to create that state of joy on the inside, and let that be what guides me through the day. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. And what do you do when you get into when you start to feel that vice, or whatever we want to call it?
Because
we're human. We haven't evolved yet to that angelical
state. No.
How do you deal with that?
Breathing is a huge thing. So really breathing into it. First of all, it's becoming aware of it. Like the sooner I can become aware of it and I realize, oh, I'm doing that. Before I wouldn't even realize it. All of a sudden it was just the vice grip was at a level 10. And now it's like, I feel it when it's a 2 or 3. And then, I'll just breathe into it and go, what is it? What is it that's got you flustered here? What is it that's got you creating this pressure? Where are you trying to perform? Where are you trying to be perfect? Cause it really, for me, it came from perfectionism and, really trying to do things perfect all the time. And so, just recognizing, where are you trying to be perfect right now? And going like, you don't have to. And then it dissipates.
Yeah. I love it, Aaron.
Yeah.
You know, cause listen, you know what? I mean, you know, I don't know who said it, but somebody said, it's not about how many times you get knocked down. It's about how many times you get up, you know? It was Ali or somebody, I don't know who's attributed to that quote, but you know, it's like, we're always getting knocked. I mean, it just in life, you know, just going through whatever it is, whether it's personal, whether it's cultural, whether it's, COVID, whether no matter what, you know, we're always kind of getting knocked, but it's like you said, the more we can flow with it, I kind of like liken it to like a keto, you know, allowing the force to come at you, step aside and let it move past you. And then something else might come and step aside and, you know, to not take it on like this, but just to kind of move.
Yes. Yeah. And there's an understanding too, that really helped me. I started working with this coach. He's great. He really helped me a lot, helped me heal. And coming to this, basically there's these three questions, and it's from Maslow's hierarchy, where it's, you know, it's like the base is this about security. And then we move up and get in eventually into the middle, which is about love and pertaining to the community and relationships. And then the very top is success and transcendence. Right. And so it's asking ourselves these three questions, like, well, what is it that I need to feel safe and secure? What is it I need to feel love or loved in my life? And then what is it that I need to feel successful in my life? And I went through this process of understanding that almost all of those things were outside of me. And then when you realize that they're all outside of you, that creates so much anxiety and pressure, because like, Jesus, what am I going to do? And then you start to realize, well, what are the things that I can do that give me those three base needs, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that's so beautiful, because when it is outside, we're chasing it, and we're not, you can't catch it anyways, because it's got to be inside, right? So even if you get it, it's always going to, it's kind of like, oh, 200 a week. Oh no, now it's 250. And the rabbit just keeps moving, you know, and you can never really, you might hold it, but it jumps out and it keeps going. I love that, man. That is so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I know now, you know, I guess one last question I want to ask you, and then we got to kind of tie it up, because man, we're, beautiful. But you talked about the guilt. You talk about the shame and the guilt, you know, kind of like to the medical world. How did you resolve that? Because that's a big part of healing, right?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. It was when I talk about surrendering, it was kind of that as well. It was the surrendering to like, hey, you just need help, you know? And what it was is, I make it sound like it was real easy, but I had to go through like an incredible amount of physical pain and emotional pain, where I just basically couldn't function at all. I was in so much pain that I had to surrender. So it wasn't like I was, you know, got this, just had this wise moment, and I was sitting under a tree, and I was just illuminated, and it's enlightened. It just didn't work like that. I was just so bad. I was so beat up. I couldn't resist anymore. And so when I was that fatigued and that beat up, I went like 7 or 8 days with no sleep. I was in so much pain. And when you get to that point, it's just, your brain starts doing weird things. You start thinking weird thoughts, but it opened up this little door. And when it opened up just a little bit big enough for me to just surrender somehow. And when I did, I just let go completely. And that's when the healing started, you know?
I love it. I love it. And Aaron, your life is, I mean, obviously you've controlled this, right? You know, you are truly directing this, you know, as best that you can, as best as any of us. But at least you're conscious whether you're controlling it or it's controlling you, you know, because there's times it's always going to be both. Right now, you know, you found a good balance. You're practicing. You're in a great relationship. You're teaching, you know, all over the world, right? You know, you know, you're teaching technique. And like, how do you keep that balance? You know, because once again, you're taking more on, but you're either doing it in more grace, or you know, or whatever. I don't know. Share with us what that is.
I would say I'm doing it with more grace, just from some of those exercises that I talked about before. Where does the security, love, and success come from? And just realizing how much it is interdirected and creating a state. But also learning to delegate more, and just to trust and have a really good team around me that that picks up and does all the stuff that I'm not necessarily good at, or that I don't want to do, that doesn't light me up. Because I think that when we do things, DeMartini talks a lot about this, John DeMartini, about how when we do things in alignment with our highest values, that we have abundant energy and that we can do so much more. But when we're doing a bunch of crap that we don't want to do, that's not aligned with our highest values, then we get tired and we get beat up. And so it's really trying to delegate more so that I can be free to do what I love doing. And that joy is what, that joy is what kind of moves my life right now. You know,
I love it. And I know you know, you're doing a huge thing with Syntropy chiropractic training. You're teaching all over the world, you know, from Europe to the USA to South America to wherever else. I don't know, you know, but
Australia. Yeah. Australia. Just come back from Australia.
Yeah. Yep. And you're just doing amazing things and you're keeping your balance with it. And I think that's just the most amazing thing. I'll share with you. I know, you know, my youngest daughter, Sydney, and Harry and I just did a webcast. We just did one of our Life by Life Wests with her last week or maybe the week before. And she said something that I took to heart, and it was so beautiful. You know, where the season where she's at right now in the season of her life, she said, if it's not an F yes, it's a no. Mm-hmm. So in other words, if she doesn't embrace it as a F yes, it's a no. And she said, it's just, it's as simple as that. Like, I've got to be all in on the yes, right? If not, I let it go and something else. She doesn't play in that gray area as much, you know? And it's just interesting. I just hit it. And Mary and I have been talking about this since that interview. We've been talking about it every day. Like, is that an F yes on that? Like, how do we want to move with that? And it's amazing. And I just want to acknowledge you because, you know, it sounds like you've made your F yeses, you know, very clear, you know, within yourself. Within yourself, what you'll do and what you won't do. And I know there's always, but it's awesome, man.
How old is your daughter now?
How old?
Yeah.
Sydney is, oh gosh, she's
30. Sorry, man.
30.
Put you on the spot. Sorry about that.
She's 30. She's 30.
Those are some wise words. I love that. That's so cool. It's not an F yes, it's an F no.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a no. Yeah. It's just kind of that.
Right on.
Aaron, thank you, man. I mean, first of all, it's wonderful to see you. I mean, we haven't had a face-to-face like this or a Zoom-to-Zoom or a web-to-web like this in a while. And, you know, I know I follow you and I'm able to see where you are and the things you're doing. And I really mean it when I say you inspire me. You know, your journey has been nothing short of amazing and it's been nothing short of just growth, you know? And I think that is the coolest thing that we can do. And, you know, I just love and appreciate you and all that you're bringing to the world through chiropractic, through your work, through, you know, your love and through who you are as a spiritual being. So thank you, my man.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I feel so grateful to have you in my life and along the different stages of my path. And so thank you so much for what you're doing.
You're so welcome. You are welcome. And to our viewers, thank you. Listen, we wouldn't be here without you. We are getting amazing, amazing amounts of views on all of our Life Leadership Lines, Life West Leadership Lines, and Life by Life West. And we just thank you. I mean, you know, please share this. There are people in our lives right now that need to hear this message. In fact, I'll go back and hear it again. But there are people who need to hear this message about letting go, about, you know, doing whatever they need to do for their own healing. It's something that I feel everyone can hear. I mean, who couldn't take some golden nuggets out of what, you know, Dr. Aaron Moore shared with us today. But, you know, most of all, I want to thank you for coming back time and again and for sharing these messages and sharing these webcasts that we do. Just know that we drop these every other week. The Leadership Line, the opposite weeks, we do Life by Life West. They're for everybody. And, you know, I think that what I took away that I just want to share with you is that, you know, we just really need to embrace what's true on the inside, you know, what really is true on the inside, that if we can get quiet enough to hear it. And as Dr. Aaron said, you know, we don't need to get kicked to the ground to do that. And yet, if that's our path, that's our path. But please, you know, check in on the inside. You will be much better to everybody you serve in your life if you're much more clear on the inside and living your life from that place of ease, right? Ease and joy. So thank you. And for Dr. Aaron and myself, Aaron, again, thanks for being with us, my man.
It's been a lot of fun. Thanks so much, Ron.
Love you. I love you, man. And to our guests, from Dr. Aaron and myself, we'll bid you adieu. We'll see you the next time around. Keep loving those around you, hugging those around you, and just keep remembering that you are much more powerful than most of us were ever led to believe. With that, I'll let you go, and I'll see you next time around. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.